verte amanecer. Qué suerte tiene.
Otra vez, sentado aquí en la esquina donde no me ves. ¿Será que otro tequila ayudará esta vez? ¿Será que voy a hablarte o pasará otra vez la misma estupidez? Bailando frente a mí en cámara lenta, sonando una canción de los 90. Y antes de que me arrepienta, quiero decírtelo en secreto con una canción. No estoy borracho, lo prometo, pero tú eres perfecta. Tú eres perfecta, pero no te has dado cuenta. Quiero decírtelo de frente sin explicación. El amor llega de repente y es que tú eres perfecta. Tú eres perfecta.
Por la nota que tengo siento que te estoy viendo. Vente, vente, la visión perfecta, bebecita, tú a mí me dañas la mente. Tú eres una abusadora, cuando lo meneas tú me enamoras. Quiero que me haga la batidora y lo que vaya a hacer, vamos a hacerlo ahora. Hey, dale lento, meterle violento, guíame sin miedo y dale movimiento. Déjame sentirte pegado en tu cuerpo y cuando tú te doblas, qué rico te siento. Me voy a dar otro trago, a ver, pa' ver si yo estoy viendo bien, porque cada vez que te miro más rico está tú te ves. Me voy a dar otro trago, a ver, pa' ver si yo estoy viendo bien, porque limón y tequila, mándate mi nota, baby, vacila. Tú saliendo el sol y nos sacamos la pela. Y aquí salimos rola y andamos con la nota, prendí en high. Yo nunca había visto un booty tu side. Y ya quiero darte rap, bye, bye, bye.
Hey, quiero que sepas que me gustas, girl. Después de aquí, dime qué vamos a hacer.
Yo te quiero comer, tú estás a otro nivel.
Pa' mí tú estás perfecta, mujer.
Why, oh, yeah.
Quiero que sepas lo que siento con esta canción y emborracharme con tu cuerpo en una noche perfecta. Porque tú eres perfecta, 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 baby. Quiero decírtelo de frente sin explicación. Que el amor llega de repente y es que tú eres perfecta. Tú eres perfecta para mi corazón.
Luis Fonsi.
On the line, I have a friend of mine. This gentleman I've known for quite a number of years. When you're talking about the man behind the curtain, there's a picture of Henry Stone. Because he's truly the man behind the curtain. And let me tell you about Mr. Henry Stone. He's been in the music business in Miami, Florida for over 50 years. He's on many record labels such as Alston, Brownstone, Cat Records, Chart Records, Dave Records, Dash Records, Gladys Records, Glory Records, Martin Records, Rockin' and Weird World. Some of the different sounds that you've heard down over the years, the Miami sound, Southern Soul, Disco, TK Records, TK Productions, and a whole bunch of folks like Timmy Thomas, T Connection, Peter Brown, Foxy, George McRae, Betty Wright, Bobby Caldwell, and Casey and the Sunshine Band. Introducing folks, the legendary Henry Stone. Hey, Henry.
Hey, Henry.
How you doing, sir?
How are you doing in Pittsburgh?
We're doing good. We're doing good.
Pittsburgh. I'm in Miami, and Miami's like pretty cool right now.
It's cool in Miami?
Well, it's like 90 degrees.
90 degrees. Now, Mr. Stone, you're about, what, 91 now?
92, as of 2 weeks ago.
Oh, well, happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you. Belated birthday.
Okay. 92. And you've been doing this for about 50 years, working in the music business.
About 67 years.
67 years.
Yeah.
Most of your life, you've been in the music business.
Since I got out of the Army.
Uh-huh.
I was in the Army Band in Canton, New Brunswick, New Jersey. And actually, Amos was the first integrated Army Band in 1944-45.
Oh, okay.
And I got out of the Army, and I went out into the music business. I was in the music business a little bit as a musician before. I was sort of moving around in the music business before I got in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got out, I entered into the music business, and then there was no music business because there were no records.
Ah.
But during the war, World War II, you couldn't get shellac. You know, records, in the 78 records were made of shellac, you know?
Uh-huh.
So the record business didn't start up until about 1946 when I got out of the Army. And I started early with Modern Records, I don't know if you remember Modern Records and Aladdin Records. They were old labels, you know?
So back in 1946, that's when they first started pressing vinyl?
Yeah, 1946. No, vinyl, not shellac. Not vinyl yet.
I was still shellac.
Vinyl didn't come into existence until about 1950.
Oh, okay. Wow. So, Aladdin Records, I know Little Richard was on that label.
He's on specialty, Little Richard.
Okay, he's on specialty.
Yeah, Amos Milburn was a big star on Aladdin Records.
So, who were some of the earlier folks that you had a chance to work with back then, Mr. Stone?
Well, back then, again, it was Artifact, way back, and Cadet Records, there was Slim and Slam, Slam Meant Anything, Mad Records, they had B.B. King, but that was a little later.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Mad Records or B.B. King, maybe in the 50s, you know?
So how did you first meet Ray Charles?
Well, I moved to Miami about 1947, you know, 48. Mm-hmm. And Ray Charles was going to the St. Augustine, you know, Above the Blind in St. Augustine.
Uh-huh.
And I was in Jacksonville for a few months, and I heard about him. I heard about this great blind singer, you know. And then about 1950, I understand, he went 1949 and 50, when he got out, Ray Charles went to Seattle and recorded for a label up there in Seattle. It didn't do too well. And he came to Miami about 1950.
Mm-hmm.
And he was gigging around trying to get a gig. And I was sitting at the bar with Sam Cooke, a really friend of Sam Cooke. At the Mary Elizabeth Hotel in Miami with Sam Cooke. And he introduced me to Ray Charles. And I said, yeah, I heard about you, man. I heard about you when you went to the school at the bar. And we said, and he said, look, man, I could use a gig. He said, I heard you're the record man. I said, yeah, I got a little studio. So in 1951, I recorded four sides of Ray Charles.
Okay.
And Ray came into the studio and did his session with me. And he started, I said, let's go over the material. And he started to sing like Nat King Cole. I said, no, I need some blues, man. You know, Nat King Cole is Nat King Cole. You're Ray Charles, and I heard you sing some blues in your group. So I recorded four sides, even including Sing Two Florida Blues and a few other three other sides. It didn't do great then because he was only Ray Charles, a musician.
Uh-huh.
Until later on, I happened to hook Ray Charles up on Atlantic in 1952 or 53.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then the rest became history.
So, did you know Jesse Stone as well?
Who's that?
Jesse Stone.
Jesse Stone?
Yeah, Jesse Calhoun.
Yeah, but I didn't have too much to do with him, man. Uh-huh. In 1955, I got involved with James Brown. I was one of the, I practically found James Brown. And through the years, through his passing, I was like his god. I was like James Brown's godfather.
Yeah, I met Mr. Brown on several occasions. Really great, great person.
Yeah, he had such a great character, man. People just love him, you know?
You know, and to watch him on stage, let me tell you this story, and you probably have seen this before. Whenever there were other musicians that were playing like a festival or something like that, and James Brown got ready to play, everyone stopped what they were doing to go watch James Brown perform.
Well, that's how great he was. He was just fantastic.
You know, and the way he did everything, the way he led the band, you know, the way he gave the band their cues, all that stuff, you know, was like, wow. He was really something else.
And you can't explain, you just express it now.
Yeah.
Exactly what he was, man. Just, as a person, because I was really personally, you know, we used to travel together. And, you couldn't beat him. He was just so great, man. I sure miss him. I really did. Even through the years, he used to call me every couple of months, you know. I mean, he let me put a record out without him flying to Miami and letting me hear it. It became that close, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's a funny thing, but YouTube, there's a Larry King interview with James Brown on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
And James Brown gets on with Larry King, and he tells Larry King how I was his partner, and how I found him, and how important I was to his life. And James Brown is something else. I can say it and read it, but hearing it from James Brown is really a trip, you know?
Right.
Larry King,
it's
all talking about
Henry
Stone.
Man, I've been a member of Soul Patrol since its inception. And if you folks don't know, it's at
www.soulpatrol.com.
Bob Davis is one of my good college friends who I went to University of Pittsburgh with.
What a writer he is, man. That guy's such a writer.
Oh, yeah, he's a great writer.
I think he's still the best, man. I think. I read his material, and I sit there, and I either cry or laugh or do something, you know?
But let's talk about the record promotion business. Let's talk about that a little bit, because you just wrote a book about that back in April, that you released a book about that.
Yeah,
it's now, people need to know about TK Productions. Talk a little bit about TK Productions, Henry.
Well, TK, you know, we had 27 gold and platinum records in the 70s, including six with Casey and Sunshine Band, and then Funky Nassau, and Betty White with Clean Up Women, George McCray, of course, with the number one disco record in the world, with Rock Your Baby, Gwen McCray with Rockin' Chair, and Timmy Thomas with I Can't Live Together, and she had to go on and on and on and on, my God.
A lot of stuff. Little Beaver and
Little Beaver was just wonderful. And it just goes on and on, you know, which maybe know more about than I do.
Because back then, I mean, back in the 70s, back in the early 70s, I was in college, and of course, I was back partying back then. So I always listened to like a lot of these different records of a lot of these different artists. You know,
Lattimore, let's straighten it out.
Oh yeah, Lattimore, let's straighten it out. Yeah,
which I'm still recording. I just put out a CD with Lattimore. Lattimore remembers Ray Charles. I just got a CD with him. It's really terrific.
Yeah, I just saw that. Now I'll probably be getting that pretty soon to
write. And the singer is Hit the Road Jack. It's with Gwen McCray and her two daughters.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, Gwen McCray just had a stroke about 4 months ago, 5 months ago.
Well, let's hope she has a speedy recovery.
Oh, she's recovering now in Pensacola.
Okay, that's great. But how did you promote these records? I mean, what went through when you were trying to promote these records?
Well, I was always a great promotion man. And I always had great promotion people around me. Give me an article. As you know, it's in my article. I had people that worked for me. But then, you know, took care of business. We took care of business in the 70s. Maybe people didn't like it, but we did what we had to do. Because I was a great believer in You make a little, you give a little, you know?
And rewarding those who played your records on the air.
That's right. Everybody played our records. And the good thing about it, Amos, I tested both of my records here in Miami.
Uh-huh.
And before I went on from one of the masters, I had records, you know?
Okay. So first you would try like all the local clubs first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, and radio. I had pretty control of Butterball down here and people like that on radio.
Okay. So Butterball was on the air down there back then.
Yeah, not the Philadelphia.
Not Joe Tamburo.
Okay. That's right. No, Butterball Smith, you know?
Okay. So what happened in the 50s with this whole payola scandal?
Well, there was two of them. There was one, let's see, in the 50s, that was an early one, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then there was a later one. There was actually two of them, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to think of them, and they're trying to separate the two of them because there was
one with Alan Freed, where Alan Freed was...
That was already in the 70s.
Okay.
That was in the 60s, but that was in the 70s, Alan Freed and Dick Clark.
Okay.
And it was all that bunch, you know?
But back then, trying to get a record played on the radio was like one hand washes the other.
Exactly, man. Again, that was my feeling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why should I make it all when you guys are playing the records, you know? Mm-hmm. So I did what I had to do to take care of business.
So in the promotions thing, you like would hook people up with cash and cars and other different things.
Yeah, I had about I'd say 10 guys on my list that I'd just say he's almost in the, they're all dead, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Like Robbie Jones and Al Perkins in Detroit and Bigelow in Houston. And you know, I took care of what had to be done to get these hit records exposed and played to the world, you know?
Yeah.
Because our records, right, in the 70s, when I got hot with TK, man, our records were number one all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
They went on early number one here in Florida, man, in New York, or around the country. They were number one in every country in the world.
Yeah, from what I remember when I first started doing radio, they would take it off just like a rocket. They took off like a rocket, all those different songs. You know, you would see like, you hear Rock Me Baby all over the place, Clean Up Woman, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, one of my favorite tunes has always been Timmy Thomas, Rocky
With Me Together.
That is a fantastic song. And I started hearing that on AM radio. Let me see, was it the early 70s?
1970.
Yeah, when I was still in high school. And I was hearing that on the AM stations, you know. And then the new progressive-type FM stations started playing it as well.
Well, it was number one on the pop charts.
Yeah.
It was number one on the R&B charts and then the pop charts.
Hmm. So you were talking to like your promotions people were talking to like a lot of people around the country. I mean, we had WAMO here in Pittsburgh, and I know a lot of your stuff was getting played on that station back then.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah. I remember that was one of my favorite stations.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So
I don't know the name. Fred Rector was my main promotion guy. You know.
Uh huh.
He passed away, but he was great.
Yeah, I've known a few of the different promotion guys that worked out like out of Cleveland and different places like that that would come to visit us from time to time, you know, here in Pittsburgh to like you know, get the records out. I mean, that's what the promotion guys did. They worked very hard. They would visit each and every DJ in every city, you know, bring the product around and like get them to play those records on there.
That's the only hard part of our business that people don't know about.
Right.
That's why I put this. See, I have a guy that's writing a book for me.
Uh-huh.
He's got 100,000 words now, you know? So he says, honey, if you take this book and you just starting with any star was born in the Bronx, and you wrote the dad, it don't mean nothing. He says, let's hit the public with something that they're going to be, wow, what is this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I guess when you read that book, it's only 13,000 words now, you know? there's going to be three, four other editions to continue to make a whole book out of it, you know?
Right.
Because I got a lot of stories to tell from 1947 to 2013, you know?
If you go to Henry Stone, to henrystonerecords.com.
Henry Stone Music.
henrystonemusic.com. There's a link to this book that he has out, and it's called Henry Tells the Whole Stone Cold Truth on Payola in the Music Business. You've got to check this out. He breaks it down for you, folks. I mean, he tells how it was done, how the promotion business worked, and how it's still working these days. You know, in a lot of different ways. I guess they just increase the technology or something, Henry.
That's the difference. I mean, it's the same thing. The hip hop promotion is the same, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go through the hip hop promotion, which I don't do too much right now, you know.
Right.
Because I always stick in my catalog and then sort of working with Lattimore and a few other artists. Because, you know, I can only do so much now that I'm 92 years old.
Yeah.
But I'm doing it and loving it and having a great time, you know. In fact, I'm coming out with something like this. I'm finishing the studio tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a story that's called that goes along with it. In 1976, after Casey had two number one records, he came to my office with his third record. You know, he sat down with my office people to listen to.
Uh-huh.
And so listened to this record, and it was Shake, Shake, Shake Your Booty, you know?
Uh-huh.
And everybody looked at me and said, we can't put this record out. I said, what are you talking about? The record's coming out next week, you know? 4 weeks later, it's number one on every chart in the world, you know? No, what's happening is, let's say 40 years later, 38 years later, I'm coming out with a thing called Booty Shaking Time. I'm doing a whole album on booty shaking.
Okay.
Bouncing booty, booty around the world.
Autumn booty songs.
Well, I'm telling Kevin, I'm just going to do it.
Okay. I love him a lot.
Cool. The rapper is so cool, man. He's a cross between pop, boom, whatever it is. He's a cool, cool cat.
A lot of my listeners will be looking forward to that.
It's great, it really is. I mean, I'm getting such a kick out of listening. We're just doing the mixes now, you know, and I got to go to the studio tomorrow and finish it.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, shoot, it's coming out like in about 2 or 3 or 4 weeks.
When you go to henrystonemusic.com, and check things out, folks. There is a treasure chest full of music. It's music history. You got to go check it out. You can go online. You can order his book that he has. All right.
Great music, you know. All
the music. There's all kinds of music from artists that you know very, very well. You know.
Yeah, I'm just releasing a whole bunch of stuff like Pete Connection, Peter Brown, and then Glenn McCrae. Stuff that's never been released on CD. It's amazing. It's like you said, it's a treasure. It's a treasure chest. That's what I got to call it, a treasure chest. Henry Stone's treasure chest. Really, you gave me a good line there, you know?
I should have copyrighted that.
That's right.
I told you. You're something else, Mr. Stone. But I appreciate you taking some time out to talk to our listeners today.
What else you got to know about the music business?
We'll get you back on another time because we're almost out of time right now.
Oh, it might be shame. I could have been on the road with you for a while.
But I'll get you back on real soon, and we'll have some further discussions. How about that?
That sounds fantastic, man.
All right. Thanks, Mr. Stone. Good. Always good talking to you.
Talking to
you. Okay.
Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Thanks.
The legendary Henry Stone, the man is something else. There's all kinds of stories that he could tell. He's talking to me on the phone about a lot of different things. But you got to go check out this book about the whole Payola thing. And what he said is right. It's still going on today, but he talks about how they did it. You know, it's very, very interesting. That's this week on the Ebony Spectrum. We'll return next Wednesday. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Dr. Davis. Thank you, Mr. Stone. Thanks, John.
you back to Arkansas. Oh, yes, ma'am. You don't do right. Don't do right. When you see me in misery, come on, baby, see about me now, yeah. All right. All right. Oh, play it, boy.
Sid Nathan, and he said, Henry, there's an artist up here in Macon, Georgia. Basically, James was from Augusta, but he was in Macon at the time. And I heard about an artist that has a little record that they're playing on an acetate that they're playing on a radio, and they're getting some action. I want you to go down and pick up the record. You can put it on your deluxe label, you know? I said, fine. I got into my Buick from Miami and started riding up to Macon. And at the same time, No. I have to pick up this record that said Nathan told me about, you know, this acetate, the song. And what happened is Ralph Bass, who was his Federal record A&R person, they had, King had Federal Records, King Records, and with me and Deluxe Records. And Ralph was just an A&R man working for King. And he called Ralph at the same time, who was in Birmingham, Alabama, for some reason or whatever. And he got over to Macon a day before I did. And he sent the acetate up to Sid Nathan. And the record came out on Federal. And I got to Macon, and I saw James Brown. And I told him, I was up there through Sid to collect the record. And we had a laugh, and he said, well, I sent it up to Sid already. And I said, okay. And I saw him do a little show up there. I said, wow, James, you're going to have a hit. The song was Please, Please, Please. I said, James, forget it, man. When I go on a road with my Hearts of Stone, I'm going to take this record with me to promote it. And James Brown, whatever the reason was, never forgets anything. And then the next 2 weeks after the record broke, when I stopped breaking the record, I brought him down here to the Palms of Hollandale, a black nightclub here in Miami. And I told the owner, I said, look, this guy's going to have a big hit record, man. You better get him now. And he brought James in for $500 or so, you know. And the group went on. And that weekend, you couldn't get near the place. Well, down here in Florida right away, because I got the record played on the radio immediately, you know. Please, 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 my jockeys went right on it. That I kind of like cultivated. And so consequently, he says, can I get this guy back, man? He's great. I says, yeah, but you better come up with some money, man. And so I got him an extra $5,000. And before James left, I handed him $5,000 in $100 bills. And he never forgot that. And James Brown, through all his career, I sort of became his godfather. James Brown would not release a record unless he came to Florida and let me hear it first. All those King records, all those big hit records that he had. After he got through, no, I was gone. But he and I, Sid Nathan, had a falling out at the time, you know, over money, you know. Why didn't I get my regular money? Well, stories after stories, you know, all through the years until he passed away. James would send me, before he released the record, I have my own label with James Brown, Brownstone Records. We put a label together. We had some pretty nice records.
Talking strange, you even whip and change your name. And we're back, folks. Fellas, look who just walked in the door. That's Lonesome James King.
Well, thank you, David. Good to be here. Lonesome Owen Saunders is up there getting his fiddle. He'll be down here in just a little bit. But right now, I'd like to do that song me and you was rehearsing the other week. We was fooling around. I'd like to get together and do it if you want to. Remember that? I keep my love with you.
Glad you said it.
Keep my love. Or turn my life into woe. Yesterday someone told me that a new love took my place, but all I have is a memory. I know time can't erase. My love with you, wherever you go. Please don't ever hurt me or turn my life into you left me. I thought our love was through, and now I found out, little darling, I can't live without you. Keep my love with you. Or turn my life into woe. Don't turn my life into woe.
Keep my love with you. Friends, I hope you enjoyed it. That's a pretty one, James. No wonder I could remember all them words. It's been a while since we sung it, but I enjoyed it and hope you did too. Hey, look who's slipping around here in the corner with his fiddle in hand. James, that's your fiddle player and our guest today, Owen Saunders.
Owen, you got a good fiddle tune picked out for us today. Boy, sure would like to hear one.
Yes, sir, James. When I was a kid, I'd listen to Chubby Wise play the old longbow on that Florida blues. We'll give it a try.
Thank you.
have fine fiddling there, I'm telling you, Owen. You got a good vocal number picked out for us. I got a feeling you do.
Well, I don't know about how good, James, but it is sure enough a vocal number.
No matter how you look at it. What's it called?
It says someone took my place with you.
Yeah. All right.
Yes, sir.
Place with you. Now you tell me we are through. Someone broke my heart in two when they took my place with you. When it's too late to make amends, I'm sure you pay the price in the end. You'll be there alone and blue. Someone took my place with you. You'll find, since you left me here behind. In days to come, I hope you'll find you wrecked your life as well as mine. When it's too late to even cry, and with each day that passes by, you'll be there alone and blue. How's that ring? 'Cause someone took my place for you. Like to say a very special howdy to Mr. Ray Davis over here in the engineer booth, and all David Davis and all the rest of Davis here with the Warrior River Boys, and old James King even over there. James, so glad to be out here, 'cause someone took my place with you.
All right, yeah, boy. Boy, I'll tell you what, man, you right on it today, Owen.
Yeah, Owen, that was a good one. Now, fellas, y'all settle back and Owen, take just a break here a little bit, and I'll ask you to come back and play the theme with us. James wouldn't want to close out our portion here without doing a hymn for the folks, and let's do one of my favorites, if you don't mind. I know it's one you sing awful well, and we'll enjoy singing it with you, one entitled The Scarlet Purple Robe.
Let's do it.
It's a story so unkind, in the holy book we find, tells how Jesus stood alone one day. False accused and there condemned, yet they found no fault with him, the man who wore the scarlet purple robe. Purple robe my Savior wore, oh the shame for me he bore, as he stood alone, forsaken on that day. And they placed upon his head, piercing thorns, a bloodstained red, the man who wore the scarlet purple robe. In the common judgment hall, he was mocked and scorned by all, and tears of sorrow fell upon his cheek. Soldiers of the wicked men smote him with their evil hand, the man who wore the scarlet purple robe. Purple robe, my my Savior wore. Oh, the shame for me he bore as he stood alone, forsaken on that day. And they placed upon his head piercing thorns of bloodstained red, the man who wore the scarlet purple robe. Words of truth that day was plain, from the lips out it came. In this man I find no reason he should die. But the multitudes then cried, let him now be crucified, the man who wore the scarlet purple robe. Purple robe my Savior wore, oh the shame for me he bore, as he stood alone, forsaken on that day. And they placed upon his head piercing thorns of bloodstained red, the man who wore the scarlet purple robe.
Thank you, James King. That was some beautiful singing.
Thank you there, David. You're welcome.
Folks, we've had a great show here today and a lot of guests. Our good buddy Scott Brannon. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, David.
Owen Saunders, Marty Hayes, all the Warrior River boys. It's been a pleasure being with you, and we hope to see you again real, real soon. Thank you, Ray Davis. Thank you, folks. See you later.
CT Pittsburgh.
You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM. My name is Steve, your host for the Deep Blues Hour, 60 minutes of classic and traditional blues coming your way. And in this hour, we're going to hear from Amos Milburn on piano, I believe. A group called the Murphy Brothers Harp Band playing some fine harmonica from days of yore. Be joining us. J.D. Short as well. Some very old recordings made down in the Peabody Hotel, I believe. And we're going to hear also from Bobby Charles, who will be up next on his release called Walking to New Orleans, or a dual records back in the mid-1960s. Here he is with Oh Lonesome Me. Bobby Charles on the Deep Blues Hour. Speck Brothers Pizza joins you in supporting WRCT Pittsburgh. Speck Brothers offers pizza, hoagies, and wings while specializing in vegan and vegetarian alternatives. Speck Brothers Pizza uses no refined sugars in its sauce and unbleached flour in its dough. Speck Brothers is committed to safety during the pandemic by providing online ordering and payment, as well as contact-free pickup. Learn more about online ordering at speckbrothers.com. You'll get a text message when your food is ready to pick up. For more information, call them at 412-362-SPAK or visit their website at spackbrothers.com. That's 412-362-7725 or spakbrothers.com. If you're interested in underwriting for WRCT, you can email pr at wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities.
'cause you don't care a thing for me.
Hey, y'all, this is Charlie Daniels. You're listening to my buddy, Eric Jackson Lurie, on WRCT 88.3 FM. Do you know me? Of course you do. Though maybe you haven't seen me in a little while. I'm that drum beat coming through your car radio. And I'm that thumping bass that drags you along with the rhythm. I'm that part of music that makes you wanna dance. Gospel song issuing forth from a Sunday morning church house. Fiddle. I'm the blues at midnight oozing out of a backstreet honky-tonk. I draw my nourishment from the teeming streets of New York City, the lonely grain-covered plains of Minnesota, from cabaret and camp meeting, bayou and beer joint, good times and ghettos. I was born in the houses of New Orleans and traveled up the river on the northbound paddle wheelers. I was nurtured in the Mississippi Delta when the seeds of the blues sprang forth from the rich black soil. I was there when Elvis learned to sing, when BB got his first guitar. I'm black and white and smooth and rough and hard and soft. I'm the roots of American music